Okay, good morning. Thank you, Rabbi Melotechin. It is great to be here. I'm so excited to be here live. Nice to meet all of you if I don't know you yet. My name is Rabbi Honig. Baruch Hashem, I've been teaching at TABC for quite a number of years. And one of the highlights, undoubtedly, is the Yeshiva Noam students. I love you guys. I love it. I've taught many, many Noam students, and they're incredible. The midos are awesome. The personalities are awesome. The skills are awesome. It's a great, great yeshiva. Great to be here. Want to see what's the secret sauce? What makes this place so incredible? Because I've been the beneficiary for many years. It's really amazing. I've also got to play basketball in your gym quite a number of times. And what are you struck with? Banner after banner. So this is a championship school, the Noam Knights. And it's really, really great to be here. A few months ago, I was on a podcast. It's a very interesting podcast called Desert Island Torah. What's the premise? They asked the speaker the following question. You're on a desert island, stranded, and you could take with you three pieces of Torah, three teachings. That's all you have with you. And what's the idea? These teachings should be the driving force of your life. This is what really motivates you, what guides you, what inspires you. So it really got me thinking. The Torah is the most beautiful thing, our greatest treasure imaginable, our compass for life. We're so blessed to have the Torah Kedosha. What could be three teachings that I would take on a desert island? And there are many, but I narrowed down to three, and I'd like to share with you. First one comes from the Gemara Tanis. I'm not going to quiz anybody here. I remember on eighth grade night, a few of you were in my Chabura. Maybe I will quiz. I remember who was in the group. Everybody starts to look down a little bit. I remember who was in the group. Does anybody remember the story we told on that eighth grade night? Okay, not all at once. Okay. So on that eighth grade night, taught a beautiful story, Gemara Tanis. Rav Baruch is in the shuk. Rav Baruch is in the marketplace, and he's visited by Eliyahu Hanavi. And Eliyahu Hanavi tells him, there are two individuals here that are worthy of the world to come. Two people here. They are going straight ticket to the world to come. Rav Baruch is very interested. Who are these gentlemen? What do they do? What are their occupations? Let me find out all about them. Does anybody remember when he goes up to these two men and asks them, what is your occupation? What do you do? What do you think the response of these gentlemen were? If you weren't in the group, no cheating. If you were there that eighth grade night, I know you remember this story. He asks them, what do you do? You're automatically entering the world to come? That's gewaldic. What do you do? What do you think the response was? Yeah, what's your name? You just heard it. What's your name?
Noah.
Noah, good job. Noah's a great man. Noah says so beautifully, very good Noah, and that is the Gemara Tanis, Chaf Bet Amud Aleph. They replied to Rav Baruch, what do? We're comedians. We make people laugh, we make people happy. If they're down, if they're downtrodden, depressed, we lift their spirits up. Whoa, that's incredible. And the second thing, Noah, do you remember the second thing they said they do? Uh-oh, what's the second thing they do that makes them worthy of the world to come? The second thing, anybody know? What would make somebody worthy of the world to come? Any guesses? Hey, baby, let's go. What's the guesses? He's trying to hide in the back. Yeah, I know him. I see him. He's trying to hide. I know him. I love him. The fourth. What's the fourth thing? Anybody know? Yeah.
Doctors
is a good guess. Definitely a great guess. Heal people. Yeah.
Don't say Lashon
Hara. Lashon Hara is a great guess. Halavai, we could strive to that. But it's not what they said. Yeah. Stucker's a great, all great things. Stucker, doctors. Gervis, what do you think? Let's go. What else? All right.
I know too many of you.
Let's go. Anybody else? Garbage man? Okay, all good guesses. Yeah, Rumsfeld?
Rabbi.
Okay, I'll try to flatter him. Okay, rabbis. That's not the answer they give. The answer they give is, we also make peace. We make shalom. If we see people are fighting, if we see there are quarrels and there's beef, we try to patch it up. I think we see from this Gemara, Chevra, a very, very, very beautiful, beautiful message. What makes us worthy of the world to come? Making people feel good. Making people feel elevated. Making people feel big about themselves. And Chevra, you're now graduating next week. You're going into high school. This is such a crucial message. Unfortunately, we might live in a society where everybody's trying to push each other down, trying to throw mud on each other, trying to ridicule, embarrass, hurt. What makes us worthy of the world to come? Please remember this story. When we make people happy, when we make people feel good, that's the goal of life. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands. That's our mandate. That's our charge. A beautiful teaching. We make people feel big. What do we see? I know probably a lot of NBA fans in the room. A lot of times when somebody does great, what do they do? Too small. Too small. Like, you're too small. You're too little. That's a nice gesture. I wouldn't call it nice. But that people like to do. And we try to emulate that. That's not the Torah way. The Torah way is, how do I make you big? You're not too small. How do I make you big? How do I elevate you? And we have opportunities all the time. Ask people how they're doing, how their day is. Try to make people happy. Smile to people. Talk to people. Give people our attention. Give them our mind. Give them our heart. Something that could happen all the time. And the second thing that they answered Rav Baroka was to make peace. You're not little kids anymore. Like I said, going into high school, we have opportunities daily. If you see some friends fighting, try to patch it up. Try to be an Aaron HaKohen. Oh, you've shalom, Rodev shalom. Try to make peace. Try to make peace with your friends. Try to make peace with amongst family members. You're now entering into high school, new stage of life. We always have opportunities to make shalom. That's the first teaching I would bring on the desert island. We're going to go to number two now. And like I said, I spoke to Rabbi Hagler about these. And he said to me, this is a mature crowd. A mature crowd of just 2 months going to high school. So we're going to speak in these ways. The second teaching comes from the Ramban. The Ramban is the Halig Rishon from the medieval times. The great philosopher, the great doctor, the great commentator, the Kabbalist, the Ramban, Nachmanides. And the Torah tells us, Kedoshim to you. You should be holy. And that's an expression that is used quite often. Holy Jew, holy brother, holy sister. He's a holy Yid. I ask you, the crowd, again today. This is a little harder. If somebody says, I want a life of Kedusha. I want to be holy. What does that mean? No, we got to speak in practical terms. We got to bring the Torah alive. Torah has to be practical. Torah has to be meaningful. That speaks to me today. So what does that mean, Kedoshim 2? Yeah. A little louder, what?
It means like you want to be close to Hashem and do everything that he tries to do.
Okay, excellent. That's a great answer. A connection with Hashem, emulate Hashem. Beautiful answer. What's your name?
Eyal.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Don't overindulge in physical pleasure.
Well, easy, easy. Does is the honors check. Okay, very nice. What's your name? What? Kobe's now going to take my place and take over this year. Very good. Kobe, very good. Anybody else? Kobe, excellent. Yeah.
Shh. Like learn all day.
Halavai. Halavai, like Jack. To learn all day. Okay, good. What else? Yeah. Okay, making distinctions, differentiations. Excellent. Yeah. Is that Gilad? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Don't do like a barrow.
Okay, excellent. All beautiful answers. Beautiful, beautiful. Gilad. Gilad. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Take the applause for later. So, says the Ramban very beautifully. Please listen to this idea. The Ramban says very, very beautifully. What does it mean to lead a life of Kedusha? What does it mean to lead a life? You listening? You with me? Right here. You with me?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. To lead a life of Kedusha means as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, certain things are off limits. Certain things we're not allowed to eat. Certain things are forbidden. They're off limits. Nothing to talk about, usher. But certain things are permissible in the right context. Meat, wine, certain relationships, they are permissible. But what could happen? What could happen? What could happen is a person could say the following. I could have meat, it's kosher, but I'll have 10 pieces of steak. I could have wine at the right time and I guzzle it down. What does Kedusha mean? Kedusha means I'm in control. I have self-control. I have moderation. I'm in charge. I'm not just over, as you said so beautifully, not overindulging. More, 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 and more. Kedusha means that I live a life of moderation and self-control. Because says the Ramban so beautifully. You could live a life where you're a novel versus a Torah, which means so beautifully, I'm a vile, disgusting person, all within the permissibility of Torah. Says the Ramban, to live a life Kedusha means self-control. I want to tell you a story. There was a story in 1972 called a marshmallow test. There was a marshmallow test by Dr. Walter Mitchell, a professor at Stanford University. And in 1972, he did the following test. He gave the boys a marshmallow. A group of little kids, He gave them a marshmallow. And he said to them, are you guys with me? Okay, great. So please turn focused. Thank you. He gave them a marshmallow. And he said to them, here's a marshmallow. But if you're strong enough, and if you're able to hold back, I'm going to do what? I'm going to give you a second marshmallow. You have to stay in a room, look at it, wait a few minutes, and if you're able to overcome, if you're strong enough, I'm going to give you another one. These kids didn't know that they were recorded. They didn't know that the video was on them. They didn't know. And what happens? They're being watched. And these little kids are in the room with the marshmallow. These little kids are in the room with the marshmallow. And what's happening? Some of them, like the ones in the front row here, ate it right away. They know self-control. They popped in right away. But others were able to withstand. Others were able to hold back. They were trying to not look at it, trying to push themselves back. They were able to overcome. They did research on these kids. The kids that were able to overcome and not eat the marshmallow right away, they led a life with much better academic scores, much more success in life, and much overall greater success than the other students who ate the marshmallow right away. What did the study show? That if you have self-control, it's a great determination of success. It's an incredible opportunity to show and to demonstrate that you could be successful in all areas of life. And I want to share with you a few examples. The Gemara Chulin says beautifully, "Ein ol miskayim el b'shvil mi shebolim et atzmo b'shas meriva." The world exists on account of somebody who muzzles himself at the time of a fight and refrains from reacting. Wow. The world exists if we're able to muzzle ourselves at the time of a fight, which means we don't just automatically lash out and go crazy and rage. We take a step back. We don't just have to fight and to go crazy. We're able to hold ourselves back. Another example. We have at the tip of our tongues, we hear the juicy, juicy gossip and slander. We want to spread it. Did you hear the latest? Did you hear the news? I have self-control. I don't need to share that gossip. I don't need to share the Lashon Hara. That could really hurt someone's feelings and compromise the reputation. And I want to quote with you another beautiful saying of Mishlei. Mavis v'chayim b'yad lashon. Please remember this quote. Death and life is in the tongue, says Shlomo Melech. Before we speak, we have to always remember, we should exercise self-control. And not just lash out, not just say things. Because life and death's in the tongue. The words we say to people, it could cause them tremendous pain. It could be chas v'shalom, like a death sentence. But the opposite, our words could be life, could rejuvenate, could inspire, could empower people. And this is our avoda, is to live a life of self-control. When we are in control, and we can live a much more wholesome life, a much more beautiful life. It is all areas of life. And it's a lifetime of avoda. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. But it's things to really, really think about. And now we'll get to our third and final teaching of that desert island. And this we're going to need your maturity. We're going to need you to stay focused. There's a story that you would tell more in high school. I don't know if you've learned it yet. So I'm going to need you please to be a mature group. You've been great. Please lock in to this fascinating story, Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Welcome to the big leagues. Gemara of Avodah Zarah tells the story of Rav Elazar ben Dordoya. Rav Elazar ben Dordoya, don't shout out. Raise your hand if you've heard the story of Rav Elazar ben Dordoya. Okay. All right, very good. Rav Elazar ben Dordoya. So we're really going to need your maturity, okay? We're graduating. We're really going to need your maturity now to really focus on this story. All right, I think we could do it. They say about Rav Elazar ben Dordoya, please remember and please lock in. Please be mature. He was a man of great lust. He would sleep around. There wasn't a zona that he wouldn't be with. He would sleep around. He would frequent very inappropriate places. A very vile, gross person. This is Rav Elazar ben Dordoya. He would go all over. Pamachat Shema. He once heard there was a zona who was at overseas. So what did he do? Vaitano tells kis dinarim bischara. He takes an exorbitant amount of money to pay her. Natal kis dinarim vaalach vavarla shiva naharos. He takes the money and he crosses seven seas to be with her. Whoa! So this is Rav Elazar ben Dordoya. This is a man who is honestly very the low of the low, vile. He's taking his money, his life possessions, to be with this woman. He travels seven seas. Sea travel is extremely dangerous back in the day. It still is today, but even more so back then. And he's going to go, basically, give up all his money, risk his life to be with this woman. He heard she was incredible. And Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, this is what we're talking about. Let's continue. B'sha'as ha-regel devar ipicha. Amra. During the time when he's about to be with this woman, he's about to have relations with this woman, he spent all his money. He traveled seven seas. He risks his life. He takes his energy, his resources, his heart, his soul. He takes it all to be with this woman. She says something fascinating. You never know where you're going to get your inspiration from. Kishem shapicha zo enecho zereslim koma. She says, you just breathed. Just like this breath is never going to come back. Kach Elazar ben Dodaya in mekablan otov b'tshuva. Elazar ben Dodaya, you're never coming back either. You're never coming back either. What? The Zona says to him, the most expensive Zona in town, who he traveled all the world to see. You just breathed. The air you breathe is never coming back. Elazar ben Dodaya, you're never coming back. You're hopeless. Give up. A lightning bolt goes off in his head, and he starts panicking. Yeah, like I said, you never know where you get your Musar from. And he goes to the mountains and the hills. There's a lot of commentary on this story. He goes to them and says, pray for me, mountain and hills. Pray for me. I was just told I'm hopeless. I have nothing left. Pray for me. And they said, sorry, we can't pray for you. Nothing doing. He goes to the heavens and earth. They say, pray for me, pray for me. Can't help you. He goes to the sun and the moon. Pray for me, pray for me. Nothing doing. So the stars and the constellations. Pray for me, pray for me. Nobody could help him. For another time, when I come back, we'll do the commentary, what that meant. But nobody could help him. He says something very powerful. Amar. Ein hadavar tolia elbi. The matter depends only on me. Hiniach rosho ben barachav. He puts his head between his knees. V'gava b'chia achayasa nishmato. He's crying and crying till his soul departs from him. Yatsa bat kol v'amra. A heavenly voice comes out and says, Rav Elazar ben Dodaya muzamin l'chai olam haba. You are ready. You are destined for the world to come. Wow. Rav Chaim Freelander, who was the great mashgiach of the Panovich Yeshiva, has a fascinating insight. And please, please listen to this. Take it to heart. He says something very beautiful about this story. What happens when we're not doing well? What happens when we're not being successful in life? It's a very, very human nature, a very convenient tendency. We start to shift the blame. We blame others. I'm not doing well in my spirituality. I'm not doing well in my ruchnius. Ah, I don't have a good chavrusa. I don't have a good rebbe. I don't have a good shul. I don't have a good camp. I don't have a good chevra. I don't have a good town, home, fill in the blank. I don't have this. If I had X, Y, Z, then I'd be successful. Rav Chaim Freelander says, this is extremely dangerous. Why? Because the person saying that his success is dependent on outside forces. If all those change, then I'll be okay. If X, Y, and Z change, then I'll be successful. Says that's the trappings of the Yetzer Hara. Says Rav Chaim Freelander, when does a person grow? When does a person really become a Ben Aliyah, a Ben Torah? When he says, Ein Adavar Toliyah Lapi. When a person could say, it depends on me. If I want to grow, if I want to develop, if I want to take steps, I need to do it. I need to stop looking around at all excuses and start looking inwards. Stop shifting the blame. I'll put the mirror to my face and say, how can I grow? And Chevra, this is such an incredible teaching. As I really believe this, I say this to my, if I have you next year, I'll say this the first day of ninth grade cheer. I really believe this is the key to success for everybody, especially as you enter high school. It's so easy to always say, it's the teacher's fault. It's my parents' fault. This didn't teach me anything. I don't know. It's the coach's fault. It's this. It's so easy. It's convenient. But how do we ever grow? How do we ever really take life by the horns? When we say, if I want to grow, I need to do something about it. If I want to develop, I need to take life by the horns and do something about it. We have to get rid of that mentality of always saying, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's this, it's that. Those are just excuses and rationalizations. Growth comes when we take responsibility. And try to think about it now. How many times in your eighth grade experience did you say, Oh, it's the teacher's fault. Oh, it's the coach's fault. Oh, it's my friend's fault. Oh, it's my chavrusa. Oh, it's my partner. Yes, of course, there's always adjustments to be made. But if we ever really, really want to grow, we need to take responsibility. And the Mishnah novel says, Im ein ani li mili. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? It's a beautiful idea. The Rambam Maimonides says, what does he say? Im lo yani ba'atzmi ma'ir nafshi l'mala mi ya'ira. If I don't awaken my neshama towards Hashem, who's going to awaken it? If I don't take the steps, if I'm not proactive, who's going to do it? You're going into high school. If you don't take the steps yourself, push yourself, it's never going to happen. Can't always look for other outside forces. We need to take the responsibility ourselves, which is a very, very crucial teaching. So like I said, this desert island, something to think about, something to contemplate. What Torah would you take? What Torah would you take with you? What Torah is your driving force? We saw the Gemara in Tanis which said, it's so, so crucial to make people happy. What makes you worthy of the world to come? When you make people up, make them happy. Not the culture of too little. Our culture should be, you're big, you're a giant, I love you, you're great. And also, what makes you worthy of the world to come? When we bring shalom. When we see people beefing and quarreling, we don't take out our phones and say, fight, or just try to spread it more. We try to make peace. Try to be like Aaron Cohen and make shalom. That's what makes us worthy of the world to come. We saw the Ramban and Kadoshim Tihiyu, to be holy. Holiness means I have self-control. I don't just stuff my face with food or with drinks and watch whatever or do whatever I want or listen to whatever I want. I'm in control. And we said this manifests itself in many ways. How we are with fights. We could hold back with a fight. The world exists because of us. If we could hold back before we speak Lashon Hara. To remember what Shlomo Melech said. Ma'ad v'chaim bi'a Lashon. Life and death's in the tongue. We're so quick sometimes to just speak. We don't exercise self-control. But remember, before we speak, I'm giving this person a death sentence or I'm giving them life. Our words matter. Our words matter. They're really crucial. I speak to people all the time. They remember what people said to them in 7th grade, in 8th grade, in 6th grade, in high school. It's just words. Words have a tremendous hashpa. And people remember them for a lifetime. They can do tremendous chizik or tremendous damage to have that self-control. And the last story we did was the Rebbe Ben Dudoya, who has somebody who was steeped in morality, somebody who was steeped in his taiva, somebody who was really, really, really the low of the low. But he realized, if he ever wants to grow, he needs to do it himself. He needs to take action himself. And we have to, as Rav Chaim Freelander said, we have to stop shifting the blame, looking over our shoulders, pointing this reason, that reason. Say, how could I grow? What could I do? And we got to catch ourselves. You're going to see in high school, it gets very, 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 very convenient to quickly say, him, her, this, that. You should always take a step back and say, what did I do wrong? Or where could I improve? How could I elevate myself to a different level? And I want to conclude with the following mashal of this idea, showing us how beautiful the Torah is. These are just a few examples. Chevra should think of others that you've learned over Yeshiva Noam, that you learned in camp. The Torah is not just a book. It's not something we put on the shelf. Not something that we try to look at that looks nice. It's our guiding life. It's our guiding principle. That's why I love this podcast, because it really makes you think. And I invite you to think as well. This is a great time. You're graduating. What Torah did I learn over Yeshiva Noam that actually could help me in life? That could guide me in life? I'm sure there's many, many examples. Maybe you write it down. Maybe think about it with your friends. Go over it with your parents. What are the guiding principles of my life? I want to conclude the following mashal. Comes from Rav Chaim Volozhin. Who knows who Rav Chaim Volozhin was?
Heard of him?
That's great. Baruch Hashem. Good man. Anybody? So that's good. That's a start. Anybody else heard of Rav Chaim Volozhin? Rav Chaim Volozhin. Heard of Rav Chaim Volozhin?
Yeah.
So he was a great disciple of the Vilna Gaon. We've heard of the Vilna Gaon? One of the great geniuses of the last 500 years. Rav Chaim Volozhin was a student of the Gaon. Rav Chaim Volozhin is responsible for the modern day yeshivas. People might have learned with a set teacher, a set melamed. He made sure we had an official yeshiva system. And we're the beneficiaries today. Rav Chaim Volozhin. Obviously a Volozhin. He says the following mashal. Please remember this mashal. This will conclude. Imagine you're going down a raft. Who here has been on a rafting trip before?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. A rafting trip. Great. Yeah, awesome. So please stick with me with this mushroom.
Beautiful.
I remember that.
Okay, great. So imagine going rafting. You're having a good time with the boys. Life's good. You're going rafting, and imagine this muscle. You're on the boat. You're having a good time, and life's good. And it's a good splashing around. The water's cool. Life's great. All of a sudden, and again, this is just a muscle. All of a sudden, guys, I want you to hear this muscle. All of a sudden, you hear an earshot away. You hear that waterfall, like any good movie. And you're in your raft, and it's picking up pace, and you're going, and you're going, and you're going. And you hear more and more the water coming closer. And as you get closer, you're getting a little more nervous, a little more startled, a little more terrified. And now you're at the 50, the 40, 30, and you could go. You're about to go. And like any good movie, there's a huge, huge tree trunk right before. Obviously, what you do is you hold on. Listen to this. You hold on to that tree trunk because holding on is the difference between life and death. Said Rav Chaim Volozhin so beautifully. We say every time we put away the Torah, Eitz Chaim Milamach Zibimba, the Torah is the tree of life. Holding on to the Torah is the difference between life and death. Torah is our lifeline. Torah is our compass. Torah is our oxygen and our energy. Holding on is the difference between life and death. So, Yeshiva Noam, I want to wish you tremendous, tremendous success in your lives. So always remember the greatest gift we have is the Torah. Think about how it could change you, mold you, and impact you. And hold on, because it is the difference between life and death.